when I was at university. I used to see that a lot. There were some sort of people who would do you kindness, but they actually did not do it out of mere kindness, out of sheer kindness. It was a thing they did because they knew after a month or later they are going to make use of out of what they have done to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Of course.
They do something good to you. You think it is kindness, but it turns out to be a bribe. You know what I mean?
Bribe.
They bribe you.
Yeah.
They bribe you with your emotion and then you have to do something for them in return.
Yeah.
You know, I usually believe that a kind of kindness is good that goes with no expectations.
Yeah.
You do that kindness because you're a kind person.
Yeah.
There was something I heard in one of the movies that I've watched. It was very nice. Two little kids were talking to each other.
Okay.
And then the girl told the boy, again, you see the difference between a girl and a boy. Because they were talking about the right thing to do and the kind thing to do. The girl said, given the choice between being kind and being right, always pick kind.
Okay.
You know, that's very nice and very delicate.
Yeah.
I do side with that as well. Mm-hmm. I believe that we should be kind. Mm-hmm. And whenever we have been put in a situation where we have to pick between good or kind, we have to pick kind. But then also we have to notice the kind of people who are around us and we are trying to offer them this kindness.
All right. So what you said so far, I think you're trying to say that we have to be kind towards people.
Yeah.
And we can only realize we are not pleasing them when we're not expecting things back.
Yeah.
So when you're expecting things back, you're only pleasing them. You're bribing them, as you put it. And if you're not expecting anything back, you're actually being kind.
Yeah, it's the sheer kindness.
Well, to know more on that from you, we'll talk with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English
Radio. Yeah, this was just a cliffhanger.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back. You're listening to Youth Station from IRIB English Radio. We're talking about
kindness.
Kindness.
Yes.
And what is the difference between kindness and pleasing people?
Yeah.
So one of the conclusions that we derived before the break was that pleasing people includes expectations.
Yeah.
But kindness in itself does not include expectations.
It comes out of a pure soul, I guess. You have to be pure in order to share kindness with no expectations.
You know, everything becomes just clear with just giving more examples. Mm-hmm. So do you have any kind of examples in your life where you were pleasing people and where you were actually kind?
Well, I most of the time please my family because I would love to bribe them. That is very nice. But joking aside, I would say most of the time, I think it has become my habit, being kind.
But that's nice.
That might sound like if I'm flattering myself. Oh my God, what I'm doing right now.
Well,
you have put me in this situation.
Of course. Now you're forced to express real asthma.
Yes. I do share kindness with people, even if I do not know them. But I'm telling you right now, I confess that sometimes it's wrong because too much kindness will kill people.
You know, we have this golden Persian that says, "Khubi ki az had guzasht, nadan fikr bad mikonam."
Yes, which means
which means asthma will
which
translate.
Means when you are too kind, then the person who does not have understanding
of your
who
kindness
does not perceive your goodness would take it the wrong way and they would abuse you.
Yeah.
So that is the gist of that. You know,
right.
That's just what I told you. Too much kindness will kill some people. Some people who do not have the capacity to understand goodness.
And do you think, here again, at some point of this kindness, there includes that expectation part. Because had you not been expecting, it would have not killed you.
No, you know what, Zainab? I do not expect things from them. I do that kindness for the mere fact that I'm a kind person, or I just side with kindness because I do love to share kindness and see kindness everywhere, okay? But there are some people around me who might abuse that kindness. You know, they know that I'm kind. They know that I would never let them down. Then they would use me in different situations.
So that means you're expecting acknowledgement from people.
No, I'm not expecting anything from them. It's just as I told you. I do good, but they do not understand that goodness. And they abuse that kindness that I have in me.
You know, we have a quote in Urdu language.
Mm-hmm. Which
says, Neki kar aur darya mein dal, which means do good.
Yeah, we have it in Persian as well. I guess I got the meaning of that. Do good and leave it in the river.
Yeah, do goodness and throw it to the river.
And then God will answer you.
Yeah.
That is very true. I do believe in it.
You know, when Prophet Moses used to go and speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would tell him one day that, please teach me the way of life. And Allah would tell him different steps. Go there, you will see this thing, behave this way. You will reach a point, behave this way. And at one place, as he says that, when you will reach a place, you will see a box full of jewelry.
Yeah.
Full of jewels. It will be very, very precious. When you find that, just dig it up in the earth and then move ahead. Don't look back. It's not your concern what happens after that. Prophet Moses goes and finds that box, and he finds very precious jewels in that box. And then when he digs that back into the earth, he walks a little and just hears a sound from behind, and then looks back and sees that box just came up again. And then he asks Allah, what was that? He actually sees different things at different levels. I won't explain all of them. But this part, the jewelry box coming up back after digging it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so this was goodness. This was kindness. The kindness you did to people.
Yeah.
Dig it up. Since you're digging it up, I'll just take it out myself. Mm-hmm. That's my job. Let it not be your job.
Yeah.
You submit to Allah, Allah will do all things for you. And just since we're talking about Prophet Moses, he once was very kind towards two women who wanted to fill water from a well. He helped them, and then he did not talk unnecessary things. Like, you know, had some guy been helping women today that way, would have first exchange the numbers.
Exactly.
You know, or start flattering and all. But Prophet Moses does not talk unnecessary things. He is just kind the way we have to be kind. Yeah. Teaching us where to be kind, how to be kind.
He's
submitting
being a gentleman.
To Allah. Submitting to Allah. Mm-hmm. And you know what happens at the end of the day? One of those two sisters whom he helped becomes his wife.
Yeah, he's rewarded.
Yeah. So why I mentioned this one is that when you submit to Allah, when you're doing kindness for him, he will reward you one or the other way. So kindness is something that goes unexpected.
Yeah.
And pleasing is really something else. Like, had there been a person helping women, like we have today around, just in order to please them?
Zainab, now I have a question. Can we change a person by kindness? Do you think it's possible in nowadays and modern life to change a person with your kindness? I mean, somebody is doing you so much of wrong, and you're just being good towards them. Is it possible for them to see these things and then change suddenly, and then that revolution happens in them?
It's extremely difficult, you know?
Yeah.
But it is possible, because we have seen the example with Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, when a non-Muslim lady would pick up all that dust and throw on his head whenever he will pass through the streets. And once she's not there, he asks about her. He inquires about her health. He says, "Where is she today?" And then when he finds that she is ill, he goes to see the lady who would always empty the dustbin over the head of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified Pujani. Now what happens is that this woman, seeing the kindness of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, changes her religion.
Yeah.
She accepts, embraces Islam
over there. He was the prophet of
kindness. Because of kindness.
Yeah, because of kindness.
Because he had that, you know, khulqun azim we have in Quran.
That's like what we've been recommended to
ethics.
Be.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, you can change. Because we have seen that in history. You can. But it's really a difficult job.
Yeah.
You have to be, you know, that yourself first. You have to be a kind person. You cannot be preaching kindness with your words.
Yeah.
Kindness is something that
it
you have to
come
do with
from inside. And it must come from the depth of your heart in order to change the other people.
And before being kind, you have to actually realize things, analyze things, understand the situation. Unless and until you're not an understanding person, you're not mature, you're only pleasing people.
Exactly.
You're not actually being real kind to them. You know, I would, I said in the beginning, like, I would in the beginning do tens of thousands of things for people. And I would say, why are they behaving this way? Why can't they accept this? And then I realized, am I actually being kind or am I pleasing them? Because there was expectation of acknowledgement of my kindness. So I thought, I realized with time, unconsciously, I thought I am being kind, but unconsciously I was pleasing them, basically.
Yeah. So we have not been born actually to please other people.
Yes.
This is something you that we should get
straight. You can't change what people think about you.
So what we talked about today was about kindness. We have to be kind. We should spread kindness wherever we go.
Yeah.
This is a must because our prophet was like this. He was the prophet of kindness and he had such a passionate heart toward every single creature in this world, even the animals.
Even the animals.
So we should consider that human beings have got such a value that everyone should be kind toward each other. And at the same time, stop pleasing other people. And do kindness for the mere fact of kindness. Do it with your
full
heart.
Without expectations.
Exactly, exactly.
Expectations
that is the most
should not
part.
Be included. Expectations should only be there from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Would kill you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Asma, for being with us.
Thank you
so much, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
News, scientific news, artistic news, with delight.
Technology helps transform the global food production system and mitigates its impact on the environment. China's autonomous region of Tibet is turning barren land into fertile one using greenhouse technology. Once removed, Beinan County is now the largest off-season vegetable supplier in Tibet. The region has taken advantage of its highland conditions to develop a state-of-the-art agricultural structure. Beinong has now more than 2,200 modern vegetable greenhouses and nearly 12,000 hectares of planting area, some built at unimaginable altitude. But one cannot deny the role of railways and highway transport for making this county a hub for organic vegetables. The income of locals has also been significantly improved, and they are now living a happy and prosperous life. We'll be right back. you're a private collector of wild animals, there is good news for you. A Pakistani zoo is auctioning off a dozen lions due to a lack of money to feed them and a space to house them. Lahore Safari Zoo currently has so many big cats that they have to take turns accessing paddocks. Officials say auctioning them will free up space and also reduce expenses. Zoo is currently housing 29 lions. The lions auctioned this week will be between 2 to 5 years of age. Each big cat is estimated to fetch around 150,000 Pakistan rupees. That's not too much, as some zookeepers claim. Even conservationists have expressed anger over auctioning lions to private collectors instead of transferring them to other zoos. Happy news for zoo goers in Nicaragua. Two adorable baby tapirs are born at a country's national zoo south of Managua, adding attractions to the visitors. Two endangered tapirs, a male and a female, were born hours apart at the weekend. In a video shared by the zoo, one of the newborns is seen suckling and walking near her mother. The director of the zoo says the babies are yet to be named but are in perfect health. Tapirs inhabit jungle and forest regions of South and Central America, with one species inhabiting Southeast Asia. They look something like pigs with trunks, but they are actually related to horses and rhinos. Nicaragua launched a project that seeks to conserve this animal in danger of extinction due to hunting and the destruction of natural habitat. Now we'll take you to mine-riddled French island, Chesomes, which is emerging from the ruins and gradually turning into workers' paradise. Chesomes, close to the port city of Saint-Malo, has an amazing landscape but remains uninhabited as it saw a devastating bombardment by the Allies during the World War II. The Nazi-occupied island was victim of the most bombings per square meter. Known as Martyred and Forbidden Island, it was opened only in 2018 after extensive demining efforts allowed the opening of a marked path. Now, every year, thousands of day trippers make the short boat journey, marveling at the spectacular maritime views and flourishing wildlife there. The safe area still makes up just 3% of the island, but it lets visitors wander between rusty cannons and bunkers. Some workers say they hope the trail will be lengthened to allow a complete tour of the island.
Africa is taking back some of its greatest treasures stolen by the British back in the 19th century. The Horniman Museum in London has agreed to return the artifacts to Nigeria. These are 72 relics, which include 12 highly treasured brass plaques known as the Benin Bronzes. The bronzes are a group of several thousand metal plaques and sculptures that decorated the royal palace of the once mighty kingdom of Benin since the 16th century. These artifacts were looted from a region in modern-day Nigeria in a British military incursion. They later ended up in museums in Europe and the U.S. African countries have been fighting to recover works pillaged by explorers and colonizers as Western institutions grapple with the cultural legacy of colonialism.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The Jamtal Glacier in Austria has been losing around 1 meter of its surface annually. Scientists say the ice is a precious archive that is simply melting away and are surveying the area. Austrian mountain researchers say the glaciers contain an invaluable trove of ancient frozen leaves and twigs and other scientific treasures that can be lost forever. They say the time capsules, including the remote Jamtal Valley, are falling victim to climate change. In the 1990s, tourists found that 5,300-year-old mummy of Iceman near the same area. According to the international data, global warming has raised temperatures in Europe's highest mountains by nearly 2 degrees Celsius in the past 120 years. French rescuers are racing against time to save a beluga whale stranded in Seine River near Paris. The beluga was first spotted stuck between two locks in the river from Paris to the English Channel on Tuesday. Specialists say the animal is undernourished and is refusing food. Warm water is also worsening the health of this creature, which is normally seen near Norway, some 3,000 kilometers to the north. Rescuers say they have only up to 48 hours to save the whale. They are now looking at the possibility of taking the beluga out of the water, treating it, and eventually transferring it out to the sea.
There are many big restaurants with Michelin stars awarded based on their quality. But you will be amazed to know that an eatery located in a tiny village in Greenland also has this badge of honor, making it the world's most remote Michelin-starred restaurant. This eatery in the village, which is home to only 53 people, serves you what it gets from its immediate surroundings. Looking out over the chilly North Atlantic, customers taste a variety of local products, ranging from whale skin to an Arctic bird whose entire wing, including feathers, is on the plate. The restaurant is so remote that you can only reach there by boat through floating icebergs. The head chef says he forages for wild berries, flowers, and herbs every day since the menu largely includes local flavors.
Visitors and staff at a French zoo have celebrated the first birthday of twin pandas. The young bears were given a tasty treat of frozen cakes and other treats. As part of the event, five lucky visitors were also given the chance to participate in the celebrations behind the scenes with golden tickets. Other festivities included face painting and panda-themed activities. The baby pandas were born last August and now weigh 23 and 28 kilograms. They live with their mother at Zoo Parc de Bouval, where they have been on display since their arrival in 2021.
Many people develop deeper relationships with four-legged animals, treating them like their own kids. A Kenyan conservationist is one of them. 33-year-old Salome Lemercier has been a community ranger in Sierra Conservancy, northern Kenya, since 2015. The mother of four is stationed at a rhino sanctuary and is in charge of protecting a male rhino named Loijipo. At just a few days old, Loijipo was abandoned by his mother, possibly due to her being spooked by something. After being cared for, he was returned to the sanctuary under surveillance in an attempt to rewild him. 3 years on from his release into Sierra Wilderness, he is taking his time to carve out his territory, of course, with the help of Salome. Excited spectators gather at the Solberg Airport in the U.S. for the 39th New Jersey Lottery Festival of Ballooning.
We have about 45 balloons here today, including these spectacular special shapes, our signature New Jersey Lottery Sunny Days balloon. You can see the tiger. Unicorn is hiding behind there. Tasmanian Devil, unique photo panda. We are having a spaceship. There's Billy the Kid. Spectacular presentation. You won't believe your skies this weekend.
Dozens of hot air balloons were test-inflighted in preparation for the real deal. The festival is considered the largest summertime event in New Jersey. Reddington City officials have predicted about 170,000 people will join the festival over the weekend. Weather forecasts say the skies are gentle enough for over 100 balloons to take flight in the morning and evening in mass ascents. And no one is more excited than the festival producer, who has been planning the event for months.
Including these spectacular special shapes. The balloons bring out the kid in everyone. You know, I've done this for a long time. This is the 39th annual one. But still, when I hear that propane whirring and these balloons going up, it makes the hair on my arm stand up.
The producer says these balloons will be handled by professional pilots and other balloons will be available for rides. The festival will last for 3 days, ending with food vendors, games, amusement rides, and other entertainment. There will also be a massive fireworks display, as well as a nighttime feature of glowing balloons. The annual festival is the largest seasonal hot air balloon festival in North America. It draws in thousands of visitors every year.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, all over the world, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to yet another edition from a series of Q&A in Islamic beliefs from IRIB English Radio. In this series of shows, we are trying to answer doubts and misconceptions on theological issues and some doubts that some have on different issues with regard to Islamic issues. In this first session, we shall talk about the some parts and some, let's say, phrases of Ziyarat al-Ashura. A phrase in this holy Ziyarah says that Ya Sarallahu ibn Thareh. If we want to make a rough translation of that, it means that oh, who is the blood of God? And this is a phrase that we are going to talk about and ask some questions with regard to this very phrase from the respected guest to speak of the show, Sheikh Nur Muhammad from Qom Seminary Schools, a researcher in Islamic studies. Sheikh Anad, before starting our discussion, I would like to welcome you to this show and say salam to you.
Salam alaikum wa rahmatullah. I'm very happy to be salam. Here and thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. Dear Sheikh, can you please shed some light on this part of Ziyarat al-Ashura, where in this Qudsi Hadith, as some say, and also in this renowned Ziyarah and supplication, it has been mentioned that is Imam alayhi salam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, has been addressed as the Thar Allah ibn Thar, wal-witr al-mawtur. What does this phrase mean? If you are actually enlighten us on this, would be grateful.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, actually we have this phrase in Ziyarat Ashura and maybe in other Ziyarah for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam. About the meaning of this phrase of the Ziyarat Ashura, we have different interpretations. First of all, they have been interpreted to the meaning of Tharullah, which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will revenge for the blood of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam. Actually, this is referring to the importance of the, you know, martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and how, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to revenge for the blood of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Actually, it has been mentioned that it is at-talabu bid-dam, which means kind of revenging. Of course, I have to explain that when we talk about the revenge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or other qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, has it, It has a specific meaning in that. It does not mean that Allah has some, you know, humanistic characters. Rather, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to revenge, you know, for the blood of Imam Hussein. And actually, it is kind of metaphoric, which is referring to the importance of the blood of Imam Hussein and how, you know, great the tragedy of Karbala, you know, was. Another interpretation of that, it means that Tharullah, which means, as you mentioned, the blood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
But again, we have to explain about this issue. What does it mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blood or other, you know, human character? For example, we have in the verse of Noble Quran, Yadullah fawqa aydihim. The hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is over all other hands.
But it does not necessarily mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a hand.
Yes,
or exactly. Allah has some, let's say, blood, that actually the blood of God is there.
Exactly. Or for example, we have Baytullah, inda baytikal muharram. Okay?
Yeah.
The host of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does it mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has host for himself? Not at all. Rather, it means, you know, talking about the, you know, Arabic points of that, Arabic, if you go to the Arabic literature, you find that it is kind of idafa tashrifiyya, which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a metaphoric way, wanted to talk about the greatness of the position of the host of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, referring to the Kaaba. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that in the Baytikal Muharram, the host of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he wanted to attribute it to himself.
Very true.
And to give some kind of authority and some kind of importance to the host of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is related to him, himself.
True.
And when we say Yadullah fawqa aydihim, it is actually kind of, let's say, metaphoric way. He wanted to say that the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dominated over all powers. Okay? But if you go to some Islamic denominations, unfortunately, they have been interpreted to the physical way.
Yeah.
And they actually, they believe in kind of physical character for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
But we have that laysa kamithli shay.
But yes, exactly. But in other verses of Noble Quran, very clearly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that nobody is like him, laysa kamithlihi shay. Or other verses of Noble Quran, for example, Allahu samad lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. Nobody is like him.
Yeah.
You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everybody is looking for him, the meaning of samad. Of course, it has another, you know, interpretation. I do not want to go to that. As-sayyidul masmoodu ilayh, which means everybody has kind of tendency toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said that, you know, nobody is like him. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. Okay, very nobody true. Is similar to him or like to, you know, likened to him.
So accordingly, those ahadith that actually some refer to that Allah, for example, and the days of and the nights of Jum'ah comes down from the seventh heaven to the first heaven and so on and so forth. So can they cannot be trusted then anyhow?
Of course they cannot be, you know, accepted because this is, you know, exactly opposite to the verse of Noble Quran, against the verse of Noble Quran.
Very true.
We cannot accept that.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
But, you know, even rationally speaking, it is not acceptable if you go to the, you know, interpretation and explanation of different scholars talking about the character of Allah and the traits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find that it has, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have any limits.
Okay,
does not have any boundaries. No, and he is not
material
like anybody.
Will, material by itself bounds the person or bounds the existence. So Allah cannot be actually limited to material body or material thing.
Exactly. And how this limited body can be the Almighty, the creator of this universe? Of course, I do not want to go to the, that point. The point that we are talking about, when we say that Tharullah, if we say that Imam Hussein is blood of Allah, it means that he is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give some kind of importance to the blood of Imam Hussein.
Yeah.
And wanted to say when you shed his blood, actually, you have disrespected Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The same way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala glorifies his house by saying that Baytullah. The same way that he magnifies his power with when he says that Yadullah. Right? The same way
exactly,
that you
yes.
explained, well, did he?
And we have, for example, fi jambillah, we have in different verses of Noble Quran. What does it mean? That, it does not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kind of dimension. That, for example, you have disrespected the one of the traits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Or baqiyatullah.
Yes.
Many words that we can find in the Holy
Quran.
Many
things have been attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I would like to ask my dear listeners to go and to, understand and to have kind of a study about what we attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
True.
And most of them, they have some kind of glorification to that specific point that he wanted to say and to attribute it to Allah in order to show the importance and the glory of that point. Okay,
yeah.
Like Baytullah and like Yadullah, many other points which have been attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I want to summarize this point, when we say that Tharullah, blood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, referring to the point that how great the blood of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was and how it has been attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually you have, shed the blood of Allah, which means you disrespected to the position and to the, to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you very much, dear Sheikh. And how about the remaining part of al-witr al-mawtur?
About the witr al-mawtur, it means that he is unique personality.
Yeah.
Because we have Salatul Witr, in other points, in other term, we call it Salatul Witr.
Yeah.
Anyway, but this witr means unique one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Mawtur, it is a kind of emphasis on that, which means that Imam Hussein was a unique personality and unique, individual. Nobody is similar to him in talking about the morality of Imam Hussein, the position and the status of Imam Hussein, alayhi salatu wasalam.
Very true.
Another point and another interpretation for Mawtur, it means that the person, an individual which, actually whose companions have been martyred and has nobody and no supporter for himself.
Very true.
Another interpretation of that. So you can have this kind of interpretation for the term witr and mawtur.
So both these phrases actually are going to show the importance of a person who is being described here in these phrases. That is Imam Hussein alayhi salam. To see how great he was while he presents his own life and the life of his family, his kids, his brothers and sisters, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and says that, okay, this is me and all belong to you. So Allah wants to compensate and actually glorifies and actually praises him in this way, in this Qudsi hadith, because a Qudsi hadith is a hadith that is attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, Allah has said it. The wording is the wording of Allah, but it has been narrated in the, in the words of the Holy Prophet or the infallibles. So all in all, these two phrases actually want to show the importance of a person who is being described here, that is Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And wants to tell us, it doesn't want to tell us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blood and his blood is there, and also the uniqueness of Imam Hussein should be connected to the earlier phrase, that is the phrase before that, that is the importance of something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he himself will take the revenge of his blood. Is there any other point, Sheikh, to finalize the discussion?
Talking about these issues, you know, just if I want to give a reference for this point, you can go to Kitab al-Tawheed, which has been compiled by Sheikh al-Sadugh. In some part of this great, you know, masterpiece, Sheikh al-Sadugh talks about the different attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he tries to give accurate interpretation for these attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As, for example, the example I gave about the Yadullah and many other examples that I do not want to go to the details of that. But if you want to have a kind of accurate interpretation of these issues, you can go to that specific book.
Thank you very much, dear Sheikh Nur Muhammad, for your scholarly enlightenment. And your respected listeners, for staying tuned and listening to Q&A Islamic Beliefs from IRB English Radio. I'd like to invite you to join us again on our upcoming session. Till then, I'll leave you in Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li aliyin wa husayin wa hasan. Li aliyin wa husayin wa hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to the program Islamic Upbringing. This is a program wherein we provide you with necessary information to be able to provide necessary grounds for your children to flourish and to attain perfection.
which is the ultimate goal of Islam. Well, today in our studio we have with us Brother Miqdad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Brother Miqdad is a researcher in the Hafza Ilmi of Qom, who will be providing us answers on the basis of Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. A very warm welcome, brother.
Thank you so much, Jazakallah.
Thank you so much for coming. We have been talking about the role of friends, and in our previous discussion, we said that we have to teach our children, we have to teach our teenagers to move on. Like, they do not need to stop with their friends, like if they go astray. We have to teach our teenagers to be enough, strong enough to move on. What else do we have in the store?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the previous show, we talked about how, as you mentioned right now, this important discussion of being friends with somebody in a way that we don't rely on them. We don't be attached to them. What we mean by this is that our goal in life and our attachment to the truth, to justice, should not be influenced by what happens in other people's lives.
Okay.
This is the key, basically. And so we have many verses of the Quran and hadith from the Ahlul Bayt about this topic. That, for example, if you were to decide on what is haq, what is truth, right? This should not be a decision based on what your friend does.
Okay.
Right? Or, for example, you are going to judge and you're going to decide on something which at times is at the expense of your friend. Or, for example, it will lead to the loss of your friend. If justice dictates that this leads to the loss of your friend or leads to your friend feeling pain or missing out on something, then you should always abide by justice.
Okay.
You should always abide by justice. This is very important. And this is what you mean, basically, that you, inside you, you're so strong and you're so attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that...
You're not dependent
on your friends. And you find that history has shown how this has either been the success of people or been the destruction of people, right? If you look at many examples in history where a person could have followed his friend and he didn't, and that led him to be a successful in the end.
I'll share a personal experience with you here. When I came to do these Islamic programs over here, I was stopped by many friends many years ago. They told me, this is not the right place. You should not be exploring there. This is not what you should be doing. And that affected me to some point of time. But after some time, when I realized this is actually the way of, exploring, and there's nothing wrong in it, and it's all in line with my religion. This is not something against my religion. And then I had a choice either to go on with this or to leave my friends. And at that point of time, I had to leave my friends. And it was really, really difficult to move on without that. But yes, at some point of time, friends, there are some friends who really interfere in your lives, in your decision making, in the direction you should go or you should not go. That's really difficult. And how you deal with that, you really need to be a strong person. I have known that. Well, brother, I'll talk more on that with you after a short break, dear listeners. Stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
Hey, stop! I got a
favorite game! IRIB English Radio presents a priceless gift to parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other, and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and
fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic upbringing. Brother, you said we shall not be dependent as teenagers on our friends. We should not rely on people. And as parents, we have to teach our teenagers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes the people who do not rely on other people.
Make a note that this doesn't mean that we don't have true friends or we don't have best friends. No, that's not the case. In fact, the riwayat that we have about true friendship is very strong. Amongst the highest levels of perfection of the human being and the highest levels that are reserved in paradise is for people who are muhibbina fillah, those who love one another for Allah, right? So true friendship and true brotherhood. I mean, one of the things that, for example, the Prophet did when he migrated from Mecca to Medina is to make a bond of brotherhood between the people of Medina and the people of Mecca.
Mm-hmm.
So true friendship and being best friend with somebody has a very important station in Islam, and definitely need to be there. But as Amirul Mu'minin says in a hadith, that this is to find that real true friend at times is more rare than that red sulfur, that very amazing treasure that you don't really find everywhere. True, real good friends are as rare as that, especially in the days that we live in today.
Okay, so only lucky ones do get that, we must say.
Lucky ones are those who strive for it, those who ask for it, and those who know themselves how to be friends.
Okay, so since you're talking about true friends now, is there any way to know who is a true friend, who you can rely upon?
This is a very good question you ask, and something we need to, our teenagers need to know as well about, very importantly. So very interestingly, you find in hadith about the concept of testing your friends. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not in our kind of responsibility to test people. But we find that the hadith have told us this.
But there's a necessity to know, like, who I should, exactly. who I'm hanging on with.
This test is not, for example, you're going to get your child, your friend to pass an exam for you, for example. So you can say, okay, this is a good guy or bad guy. You're not here to judge.
Okay.
But we've been taught by the Ahl Bayt that how do you know what are kind of signs that you look out for to know that the friends? And this is a very important thing. So for example, Amir al-Mu'min says, قَدِّمِ الْإِخْتِبَارِ فِي اتِّخَاذِ الْإِخْوَانِ.
Mm-hmm.
Before you take somebody as a friend, Imam Ali says, test them first.
Okay.
Examine how they are. Look at how they behave, or look at what kind of interaction you have with them and how they react to those different things. And then you can, based on that, see if they're real, true, good friends or not. Again, I repeat, we're not saying we need to judge people or we need to kind of say this person is a good guy or a bad guy. This is more to see, as I mentioned in a couple of shows ago, that when we're looking at the Ikhwan al-Thiqa, the true best friends that we want to have, you want to know and be sure that this person's a person I can count on or not.
Okay.
So to give an example, we've been told by Amir al-Mu'minin, fi shiddati yukhtabaru sadiq. It is in times of hardship that you can test your friends.
Okay. When you're going through a tough time, who stands by you?
Exactly.
Well, I'll talk more on that with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, He who does not show compassion will not see compassion.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات يا
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing, and we're talking about the points how we can help a teenager to find a true friend. Yes, brother.
So in difficult moments, when by difficult moments, it means that moments that leads us to either face a physical pain,
okay,
or face a monetary pain, so loss in monetary, losing money, losing what we have as belongings, or sometimes even reputation, when you're losing reputation, basically. In those moments, true friends are those that stand by you, supporting you, even though it means that they will be feeling physical pain or losing money or losing reputation.
Or losing a close one.
Or losing a close one. So those are moments that you can say that this is a true friend that is able to bear these things. And that's important for us to know. And you find, and you want teenagers to know this, because a lot of teenagers, I mean, you can try this as well. If you ask them, like, would you yourself be able to stand by these individuals that you count as friends in moments of difficulties? Most people say no. So no, I'm not going to give anything to these guys. We're having loads of fun together. And even though they're influencing my actions, they're influencing my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
But I know if the day comes, for example, when reputation is in the line or when physical pain is in the line, none of these friends will stand by you, nor will you stand by them.
Yes.
And you find the opposite in true friends. You find true friends give their lives for one another. Reminds us of Karbala, for example. You find in Karbala, the true friends were giving their lives for each other.
Yes.
In another tradition, from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, don't consider your friend before you've tested him in three situations, or before you've seen in these three situations if he's really showing signs that he's a true friend or not.
Okay, what are those?
What are those three situations? The first one is in moments where you anger him.
Okay.
Or in moments when he feels really angry and frustrated. Imam Sadiq says, in those moments, does he go away from the truth and from justice or not?
Okay.
The kind of people that you want to take as your best friends are people who, despite the moments of anger, they still are fair.
Okay.
And they still abide by truth.
All right.
That's the first one. The second one is regarding money. I mean, history is witness to how many friends have been separated, let alone friends, brothers and sisters and parents have been separated and broken because of money.
Yeah.
True friends are those who money will never be a source of difference or a source of separation. And this is extremely difficult and extremely hard to achieve. And the third one is during travel. حَتَّى تُسَافِرْ مَعَهُ. When you travel with somebody, you come to know who really they are. And I think those who have traveled, especially difficult travels, I mean, those travels where you're going out on a holiday, in a five-star holiday, they're not those travels. We're talking about if you go to Arbain, for example, and it's difficult.
Yeah.
When you go to Arbain and it's difficult, you're going to...
A travel that includes all those hardships. Exactly. You actually get to know that. Exactly.
This is why you really come up to show who your really friends are.
Who your really friends are. Thank you so much for providing us answers based on so many beautiful narrations. Thank you so much, dear listeners, for being with us. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you have any questions for us or any suggestions, comments for a program, please feel free to contact us on englishradio@irib.ir. You can also search us on our social media platforms by just searching Call of Islam Radio. In case you want to listen to our programs again, you can go back to our official website. That's www.parstoday.com. Until another session, fi amanallah. God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing,
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, August 14th, 2022. I'm Atefa Irfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, or messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English Radio broadcast. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, You can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important.